Well, good morning, everybody. It's lovely to get together again to worship God, to hear his word, and to encourage one another. And I just want to start to do that by reading a short passage in Romans chapter 11, verse 33 to 36. And it says, "Oh, what a wonderful God we have! How great are his riches and wisdom and knowledge! How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his methods! For who can know what the Lord is thinking? Who knows enough to be his counselor? And who could ever give him so much that he would have to pay it back? For everything comes from him. Everything exists by his power and is intended for his glory. To him be glory forever. Amen." So we're going to be looking at the book of Romans later on, and that passage comes at the end of chapter 11, which is kind of a fair division in the book of Romans. Before that, Paul has been talking about all the kind of theology of how God has saved us and how he did it through the nation of Israel. But then it changes after that to a practical approach of how we should be living. So that is our service in brief. All right, so we're going to move on to the memory verse. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 6, verse 23. Okay, great. Well, now we've got a real treat in store for us. We've got Reflections of a Hippo. This is a Jungle Doctor story. And I love these when I was young, and I still love them now. The words were probably written in 1940, so I'm not quite that old. But the video was made in 1970, so we will just have to forgive any non-technical stuff that we're used to today. But here we go with Reflections of a Hippo. Okay, so anybody seen that before? It's great, isn't it? Boo-hoo the hippopotamus. So what I want us to focus on now is religion or faith. And in the book of Romans. And I think it's kind of almost a very basic summary of the book of Romans, certainly the first part up to chapters 11. So you see the first 11 chapters is God telling us via the Apostle Paul what he has done for us and how he has achieved salvation and how Jesus saved us and how that's rooted in the Old Testament and all sorts of things like that. Gets a bit complicated in places, so we may well struggle if we were reading it all, but it's what it's about. And then the chapters 12 onwards, that tells us how to live in the light of how God has saved us. It's saying this is how you should live. And so that's a very brief overview. And if we could have our first readings, please. All right, you've got it there.
"I want to preach it because I'm not ashamed to the good news. It is God's power to save everyone who believes it. It means first for the Jews, it means also for the Gentiles. The good news shows God's power to make people right with himself. God's power to be made right with him is given to the person who has faith. It happens by faith from being to the end. It is written that one who is right with God will live by faith.
God shows his anger from heaven. It is against all the godless and evil things people do. They are so evil that they say no to the truth. The truth about God is plain to them. God has made it plain. Ever since the world was created, it has been possible to see the qualities of God that are not seen. I'm talking about his eternal power and about the fact he is God. Those things can be seen in what he has made. So people have no excuse for what they do. They knew God, but they didn't honour him as God. They didn't thank him. Their thinking became worthless. Their foolish hearts became dark. They claimed to be wise, but they made fools of themselves. They would rather have statues of God than the glorious God who lives forever. Their statues of God are made to look like people, birds, animals and reptiles.
So the first verses 16 and 17, just briefly, I'd just like to underline that we are made right with God through faith. That is what Paul is saying. We can see it underlined there. It happens by faith. Okay, so this is really Paul's big message, that it all happens by faith. And so if we flip through into the second part of the reading, 18 to 23, and we see there, this is a reflection on society. And it's interesting that there was a reflection back then, 2,000 years ago, as well as today. We see the underlying bit, they are so evil that they say no to the truth. The truth of God was so plain to them. God has made it plain. And can we have the second part of that, Jill? They claim to be wise, but they made fools of themselves. They would rather have statutes of God than the glorious God who lives forever. The statutes of God are made to look like people. Does that have a ring of celebrity about it? They're made to look like people, birds, animals, and reptiles. You know, written 2,000 years ago, yet still applies to us today. So, if we kind of look back at the Jewish faith, we can kind of see in a way that it did become a religion to the people of Israel. And so that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to compare what faith is and what religion is and how they're different for this little section. And so we know at the beginning of the nation of Israel, we had Abraham. He was known as a man of faith. Why was he known as a man of faith? Somebody tell me. He listened to God and he believed God, didn't he? He believed God. And what it was that God had said, you're going to have so many descendants, they'll be like the stars in the sky, you won't be able to count them. And Abraham didn't have any children, and he was getting old, and so it was very unlikely that he was going to have any children. And yet he believed God, and so he was known as a man of faith. And interestingly, there was no law back then. Moses hadn't come and given the law. That came later on. And so he couldn't be made righteous because he kept the law, but it was because of his faith in God. And we know the Israelites tried to keep the law, didn't they? They had the Ten Commandments, and Moses said to them, learn the law, love the law, follow the law, keep the law. But within a few weeks of them getting it, they failed miserably on the first commandment. What did they do? Somebody told me the other day. They built a statue of gold, a golden calf, and they worshipped that instead of the God who'd just given them the law. Broke the first commandment. And so we, like them, can also try to obey the law. We see the just Ten Commandments, fairly straightforward to keep them, you would think. But we fail so often. But you know, keeping the Ten Commandments will make us good people. They will make us model citizens if we simply love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. We will be good people, but believing that Jesus has saved us will make us Christians, will make us followers of Jesus, which is even more important. And so we see that the people of the Old Testament, they could believe God. They had the opportunity to believe God as well as keeping the law. And we know that people like King David, the great man in the Old Testament, he failed badly on keeping the law in several cases. You know, people got murdered and all that sort of thing because of him. But God forgave David because because David said sorry, and also because he knew that Jesus was going to pay the punishment later on for David's sin. But David suffered the consequences of that sin, and he had a difficult family life because of it. And we too, when we do have bad behavior, we suffer the consequences of that. And that might be short term, that might be long term. We don't know. But religion, I want to suggest, is about us doing things. You know, us trying harder, us trying to gain God's approval. Whereas faith is about believing what God has done for us. So that's not about doing, that's about believing what God has done for us through the Lord Jesus. And so we remember Boohoo the hippopotamus. You know, he didn't like the look of himself in the mirror, did he? And we can have the law as our mirror. And if we look at that, we can often see some fairly serious flaws in our life and in our attitudes, in our behaviours. And we don't like that. And so that is generally why people reject the law. They don't like being told they're wrong. Nobody does like being told they're wrong, do we? You just simply don't like it. It's not nice. But the law will tell us that we are wrong. And so we need to listen. And we need to understand that Jesus has taken the punishment for our wrongdoing when he died on the cross. Because Jesus couldn't take any of his own punishment because he didn't do any wrong. And so he freely and happily took our punishment. And so then we can believe in him. Now, we often hear people going on pilgrimages. So we got this picture coming up. This is in Ireland. This is Crowpatrick. And people on 2 days in the year, and last Friday in July and the 15th of August, they have a pilgrimage up this mountain. And so they come and do this because they think, if we do this, God will approve us, look at us in a better light. He'll think we're keen and dedicated to him. And so this is what these people are doing. They're going on a pilgrimage to certain places, and there were a plaque. And they said, if you get to this point and then you say the Lord's Prayer and you say 7 Hail Marys and you do a few other little things like that, and then that was the thing to do at that point to gain God's favour. You know, and that was just, to my eyes, pure religion. It was not about believing that God has saved us. It's about working harder to make God smile upon us, to make God like us, to make God think we're trying hard to please him. And so that's just a sort of an example of religion. I'm not trying to criticize other people, but I'm trying to use that as an example to show us. And some people obviously think, well, I'll really show I'm dedicated to God. I'll go up on my knees or my bare feet. And so they do that. But God actually loves us before we try and impress him. You know, we can't impress God because he loves us already. He's not going to love us more. He sent the Lord Jesus to save us because he loved us. And so we can't impress Jesus or God. So for us who have believed for many years, you know, we need to keep on being careful and keep on believing. Because it's so easy to stop believing. And say, oh, well, I kind of got tired, I believe that, but it doesn't matter anymore. You know, we need to keep on believing. Believing is often a challenge, and it doesn't always come easy. And we can have rituals in our lives as well as believing. And those rituals can be good, they can be leading us astray. But again, let's not be careful. Let's not be judgmental on other people. And we can even find and use good religion to help us in our Christian lives. So we might have got up this morning, we're thinking in our minds, what day is it? Oh yeah, it's Sunday. Oh yeah, that means I'm going to church. Yep, so that's fine. And so religion can bring us to church, but only we can only worship God from our hearts. You know, that has to come from within. You know, religion can get our bodies here, but worship only comes from our hearts, from belief in God. And so religion can actually be helpful to us, and it is a good thing, but it doesn't make us Christians. Shall we move on with our next hymn? This one is 799. All I once held dear, built my life upon, all this world reveres and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and verses 6 to 8. Aston and Isla, thank you very much. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 2.
I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, and by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
Verses 6 to 8.
In his grace, God
has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraged. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly.
Good practical advice there for us from the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12. And so, how should we live? How should we be living? Well, Paul straight away gets into this in verse 1, and he takes that thing of sacrifice in the Old Testament, and he says, we're not going to offer a bull or a goat. Basically, you've got to get on the altar and be the sacrifice. You haven't got to be a dead piece of meat there, but a living sacrifice, a living holy sacrifice to God. Yourself on the altar, living and holy. That is radical. That is true faith when we do this. And Paul goes on and says, don't copy the behaviours and customs of this world. And it's so easy, isn't it? We want to fit in. We want to be like everybody else. We don't want to be the odd one out. We want to fit in. And so we need to be careful. Well, the big thing now is to be green, isn't it? To save the planet. But, you know, green is good. I've said many times that we need to be stewarding the planet. Green is good, but other colours are necessary as well. And we don't need to copy the behaviour and customs of the world, but we need to stand out from the world, living for God. And if we move on to the verse 6 there, verse 6, it says, we've all got abilities, we've all got opportunities to do things, and we should be doing them really well. But I've got a lovely quote here from a missionary called Gladys Aylward, and I don't know if you've heard of Gladys Aylward, but she lived between 1902 and 1970, so not so long ago for some of us. Not so long ago, but she said this, and she was a missionary there, and I believe she was a very short person, which meant actually she fitted in well with the local Chinese people. But she said, I wasn't God's first choice for what I've done in China. I don't know who was his first choice, but I'm sure it must have been a man, a well-educated man. I don't know what happened, but perhaps he died. Perhaps he wasn't willing. But you know what? God looked down and God saw Gladys Aylward and he said, she's willing. I'll take her. And that's what we've got to be. We've got to be willing. And so let's be willing for God. And another willing person is our niece, Naomi Coleman. And so I asked her if she'd do a little video for us. She's a missionary in Madagascar. And we've got a map there. Madagascar is just off the east coast of Africa. So that's where she is right now. And she made this video last Saturday for us to see this morning.
Hi, I'm Ney. I am a missionary in Mandritsara in Madagascar. This is my garden here. You can just see my rubbish hole behind me where I burn my rubbish. It's nice to be able to speak to you virtually this morning. Being a missionary is someone who intentionally crosses cultures to share Jesus with people, and often that means that we're not earning a salary like a normal job, often getting supported financially by individuals and churches, and that's the case for me. I'm here through an organisation called Serving in Mission, people who want to give to Serving in Mission, and then they pass on money to me each month. That means I can buy food and that kind of stuff. And yeah, my involvement in sharing the good news of Jesus with people here is indirect. I am a teacher and I teach the children of doctors and surgeons at a missions hospital here. And so that's a hospital where sharing the gospel is really kind of built into the infrastructure of the hospital, where we want to see people healed physically but also come to know God and be healed spiritually as well. Like any institution, it's not perfect. There's things that are difficult. There's some people who are committed and some people who are maybe less so. I am here to teach the kids of the expat missionaries, and that's kind of particularly important because it's often it's hard to recruit enough doctors and surgeons who are Christians, who are prepared to work somewhere like here. This is kind of fairly out in the sticks of Madagascar, Yeah, but the fact that there's some educational provision as an encouragement to people to come and to bring their children, knowing that there's a place their kids can get taught in English. So for me, that's really fun. I really love teaching. I love the challenge of teaching different age groups and different nationalities together. It's a really good job. It's easy to lose sight of why I'm here sometimes, I guess. I've been here so long that it feels like this is just what I do. I'm grateful to be somewhere where it's not all about money. I'm not just trying to earn profit for a school or get bums on seats. We really do want people in this area to be made well physically and spiritually. Some of the tricky things about that are, I guess, we always want to see more. We want to see more people coming to know Jesus. We want to see more things done really well. And as a kind of someone who's a step back from that frontline work, sometimes you can kind of see things and you think, oh, I just wish there was more fruit. I guess that's true in my own life as well. I guess sometimes there's frustrations with cross-cultural communication. Just this morning, had some misunderstandings with a team member, and kind of easy to feel kind of hurt or upset. I still need God to work in my life as well, and I bear fruit by getting to know Him better and trusting Him for everything that I need. They're some of the tricky things. Some of the good things, as I've said, kind of not having to feel like you're working in an institution that's just about getting money, but having a sense of togetherness with people. In non-COVID times, I go to church with people, I eat with people, and I work with people we're all kind of working together on the project here. And that's a real privilege to have that kind of, those kind of relationships that aren't just kind of work friends or church friends, but doing life together. I hope that's helped you a little bit. Bye-bye.
But she, as it were, sacrificed that life, those prospects, and went out to serve God in Madagascar. So I just put her on as an example of what Paul is saying here. Give yourselves whole, living and holy to God. And that's what we need to be doing as well. We may not be called to go overseas. We may be just called to be a good parent here, you know, to do that job well. That is incredibly important, to serve one another and to be a blessing in our own context, to tell our neighbour, to talk to our neighbour about Jesus, perhaps. And so that is great. So our next last song is kind of on this theme. O church, arise and put your armour on. Hear the call of Christ, our captain. For now the weak can say that they are strong in a strength which God has given. You know, so often we say, I'm not strong enough to do this, I'm not good enough. But, you know, we don't need to be good enough, because God is good enough and God will go there and be there with us. So we need to be going in our weakness and not our strength, because using God's strength. So shall we stand to sing, O church, arise. word that you've given to us that not only informs us about yourself and how you've saved us, but also gives us practical advice, Lord, of how to live in these days. And so we just pray that we can take this into ourselves, that we can indeed be living sacrifices for you, Lord, and we can live our lives to your will and purposes, Lord. So help us as we do this in our own context, whether it's just living in our families, Lord, showing your love through that, or more upfront jobs that we could do, Lord. We just pray that we would be able to be bold to speak your word as and when necessary. So be with us, Lord. Help us through the rest of this day. Bless each one of us, and just let us have our hearts full of praise to you, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen.